We're going to be talking about being thankful and maybe some things in the Bible, some scripture in the Bible. And I want us to take a few Wednesday nights. I usually maybe hit this the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, just such a special service in my heart on the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. I love that service. And this year we're going to plan something a little extra special on that Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, so go ahead and be marking it down in your calendars. I know that night is a busy night for many of you. A lot of you are cooking and preparing for the next day, but just want to go ahead and maybe we'll lay this out there. So that night before Thanksgiving, Wednesday night, the 27th, I want us to have a testimony service, and I've asked the youth group to come over and join us on that Wednesday night, and we're going to just meet together as a church body and maybe have an opportunity to share some testimonies, maybe a night that you want to tell about being saved. And I'm going to try to get some specific people that's been on my heart and my mind to share a testimony. That night, if you will, just go ahead and put it down that you're going to do your best to take an hour away from cooking, take an hour away from everything else and come to God's house. And let's just spend that night together and being thankful. And I've given you 3 weeks now, really four, to prepare. So there's no reason, and don't lay out. Hey, don't go, oh, no, I'm not going to say anything, so I'm not going to show up at night. It's not going to be mandatory or anything else, but just a good opportunity for us to be together as family that night and to share maybe a few words of testimony. And as I said, I have invited the youth over. So now let me put a little pressure on you. I've invited the youth over that night. It's our responsibility as elders in the church. When I say elders, older than them. We're not old, but just older than them. It's our responsibility to show them an example of what it's like to be in a church, being Christ-like, and following God's lead in our life. And you say, well, what's that mean? That means that night when I say, does anybody have a testimony, if we all just sit here, what kind of example are we being to our youth? So they don't know that yet. But now y'all know that. So you be praying about it and ask God to give you something to say. Ask God to if he would have you to share your testimony that night. And you got some time to think about it. But anyway, for tonight, I didn't mean to scare you all right before we got into the lesson tonight. So we'll get into the lesson and see what God has for us tonight. Psalm chapter number 95. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. And of course, pausing along the way for a couple of comments. But the Bible says in verse 1, it says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." As you get into verse number 1, I mean right off the bat, there's the punch there of, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." You know, there's a lot of reasons in our life that we need to be thankful. You know, people out here that are lost, they still have a reason to be thankful. There's so many things in our life that are good and perfect gifts from above. And the Bible tells us about it raining on the just and the unjust. And we know that God has his hand even on the lost. If God didn't have his hand on the lost, Satan would kill them right where they're at. And that way they would be damned to an eternity in hell with him. So God has his hands even on the lost. And there's all kinds of things that we could be thankful for. There's all kinds of things that we could sing. Look, sing unto the Lord, let us make a joyful noise. But listen to what it says there at the end of the verse, to the rock of our salvation. If you find yourself in a place in a time where maybe life is busy, maybe things is going not your way, maybe things are tough or whatever, there's always a reason to praise the Lord, and there's always a reason to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, because he is the rock of my salvation. He is the basis of my salvation. He's the foundation of my salvation. He is the reason, the cause, and the purpose of my salvation. I'm glad tonight that I met Jesus Christ as my Savior at the age of 7, and he has been the rock. He has been steadfast, unmovable, unshakable all my life. He has never failed me. He has never moved. He has never been anything that I had to guess whether or not it was going to be there. He is the rock of my salvation. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. I want to say to you tonight that I've heard some people, look, it's talking about singing here, and we know that it's actually talking to, I think a lot of these psalms were actually sung, and as we look here and it says, come let us sing unto the Lord, some of us have no business singing. Can I just go ahead and say that? I don't have any business singing. I like to try when I'm in the shower and nobody can hear me, but some of us really, but look, I want you to know whether you can carry a tune in the bucket or not, or whether you even know what a note is or not, it doesn't matter. When we begin to lift our voices and give praise unto the Lord, it don't matter if anybody else around you thinks it's pretty. It doesn't matter if anybody else thinks it sounds good or not. I want you to know it is music unto God's ears when you lift your voice and you make a joyful noise unto the Lord and give Him praise. Verse number 2, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. My noise may not be joyful unto you, but it is joyful unto Jesus Christ. When I lift my voice, look, what an awesome privilege it is in verse number 2, let us come before His presence. Ain't it an amazing feeling, and ain't it a wonderful thing that we as creatures that God made, that we as sinners, that we as people who mess up and we fall short, ain't it amazing that God still allows us to be in His presence? Ain't it wonderful that God allows us? And you say, well, I don't know what you're talking about, preacher. Well, ain't you ever been in a church service where you felt the presence of God? Haven't you ever been in your car when you were listening to a special song that reached down and touched your heart and you knew you were in the presence of God? I want to tell you tonight, just as it says in Matthew chapter number 18 and verse number 20, the Bible says, where two or three gather in my name, I'm in the midst. I'm here in the name of Jesus tonight, and I hope it's a couple of y'all that are. And if we are, then He's in the midst of us tonight. We are in His presence. I'm glad that when I come into this sanctuary and I have my mind turned toward worship and I have my mind turned toward lifting up God, that I am in His presence and that He is in the midst of us even here tonight. It is such a wonderful thing that we can be in the presence of the Lord. A while back, I got to go to a UNC basketball game with a friend of mine, some friends of mine, and we were sitting there, and it was actually a UNC versus Virginia, imagine that. And just before the game got ready to start, somebody said, look right there, and guess who walked in the building? Nobody knows? Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan walked into the building. Man, it wasn't like he walked up there and shook my hand or anything, but I watched Michael Jordan when I was this big. And in my opinion, he changed basketball. He is, and nobody will ever convince me different, he is the greatest basketball player ever. And I love to watch him. And just being in His presence, I was like, wow, that's crazy. Michael Jordan's right there. He didn't know that I was in the building. He didn't know anything about me, but I want to tell you something tonight. Just to be in the presence of the Lord and to know that the Lord knows who I am, He knows everything about me, and He still decides and He chooses to be in my presence. I'm glad tonight that I still have the opportunity to be in the presence of the Lord. Let us become before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Sometimes you may have a rough day. Today was a rough day for me. It was really busy. Thankful for the business, but man, I mean, just stress, just bam, everything happening all at one time. And I look so forward to coming here with you and being in one mind and one accord and looking unto God as our help and our strength, knowing that with two or three are gathered together in His name, that He is going to be in the midst. Man, what a joyful thing it is to be in the presence of the Lord. And if I can't think of any other reason than to be thankful, then the opportunity to be in His presence is a reason to be thankful. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord, He is a great God and a great King above all gods. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 31, the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? What a great God we're serving. We're not serving some little God that can't take care of our problems. We're not serving a God that can't take care of our enemies. We're not serving a God that can't reach down and change our situation, that don't already know what tomorrow holds. But we're serving a God that loves us, who is holding us today, tomorrow, and for. He said that He would always be the same, that He is unchangeable. I'm glad that my God is a great God. The Bible says here, He says, look, where did we get to? Verse number 4. For the Lord is a great God. If God be for us, who can be against us? If for no other reason that we can lift our voices, that we can sing psalms of praise unto Him, it's to be in His presence, to know that He is the rock of our salvation, and to know that we are serving a great God, the one God, the only God tonight. For the Lord is a great God. Y'all gonna have to excuse me for being a little excited tonight. This scripture is good. I wouldn't sit much closer than y'all are, by the way. It says, for the Lord, He is a great God and a great King above all gods. Revelation chapter number 19 and verse number 16, you can find there in the scripture where it talks about having written on his thigh that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. I'm glad that I'm not serving a God that there might be one better than somewhere along the way. You ever seen somebody that was afraid to make the choice because they was afraid there was something better? You know, you ever watch those game shows? And they get up there and there's three doors that they can choose from. And they know that behind one of those doors is a wonderful prize. Behind one of those doors is something that they really want that will enrich their life, that will bring happiness to them. Behind the other two doors, they really don't know. It could be some kind of zonk, or it could be something, some kind of trash. It could be anything behind the other two doors. And as they're sitting there and they're trying to figure out which door to choose, which one is going to be the right door, they're always afraid, well, if I choose door number two, is door number three really the one with the better prize? Well, I'm glad that when it comes to choosing God and the fact that God chose me, that the best chose me and I chose the best. There is no way in the world that there's anything better than our God, that he is King of kings, that he is Lord of lords, that he is a great God, and I don't have to worry about something coming along that's going to be better than God because I've got the best when I chose Jesus Christ. Verse number 4, in his hand are the deep places of the earth. Hey, we're talking about reasons that we can enter into his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, that he is God of all. Man, I tell you what, you can go outside right now. This is my favorite season in the whole wide world, deer season. This is my favorite season in the whole wide world. I love to go outside and see all of the changing colors. I love to see, hey, and I know some people look at it and say, well, everything is dying, and the trees, they're dropping their leaves. But you know, the cool thing about the way God made everything is that when it dies, you know that when spring comes, it's coming to life again. Hey, it kind of reminds me of my Christian life, that I had to die and I had to say, you know what, I'm laying me down and I'm picking up Jesus Christ, and he's forgave me of my sins and gave me life. Different message for a different time, but this is absolutely one of my favorite times of year. You can go up on a peak somewhere and look out and see all of those changing colors. Well, you know what, God did every bit of that. It wasn't affected by anything that man done. It's not affected by anything that man's doing. But it is all in the control of God our Father. It's all in his hand. It says the sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Verse number 6, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hands. Today, if you will hear his voice, I'm going to stop for just a minute, even though it's a continued thought right here. But look in John chapter number 10, verse number 27, the Bible speaks of the good shepherd, and he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know what? It's an awesome thing just to know that we are serving a shepherd that knows us. You know, it's cool that we know his voice. Here in John chapter number 10, verse number 27, listen what it says. It says, my sheep hear my voice. Now look, there's something in between the commas here, but I'm going to skip the middle part of the verse. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. That's cool enough right there, that we can know the voice of God and that God can lead us and that we can follow him. That's cool all in itself. That's amazing that can be part of our lives. But the middle part of that verse is what really trips my trigger. He says, for my sheep hear my voice. Listen to this. And I know them. He knows me and he knows you. I'm glad that that's the God we're serving tonight. That he knows me and yet he loves me. That he knows everything about me, that he knows every part of me, that he knows every thought that I have, that he knows every desire that I have, that he knows everything in my life, every good thing, every bad thing, and yet he chose to be my God. Verse number 8, I'm going to read verse number 7 so we can continue the thought. He said, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Listen, when we can look and see everything that God's done, when we can look that he is the rock of our salvation, that he is a God above all gods, that he's King of kings, Lord of lords, he's the God of all creation, Why in the world would we harden our hearts and not give him the praise that he's worthy of? Why would we not return unto him? You know, I can't help but think about the 10 lepers that were cleansed. And only one of those returned to give him praise. And he says, where are the nine? I wonder how many times in my life, maybe that's a sort of an ironic thing that I can draw back toward my life, that maybe out of the 10 things that God does in my life that's good, I may give thanks for one. Man, I ought to be ashamed of that. I ought to come to a place that says, you know what? God is worthy of my praise, and I'm going to give him my praise. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hands. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't harden your heart to not give God the praise he deserves. Don't harden your heart to not return unto him the worship that he is worthy of. If you will, turn with me to Psalms chapter number 100. I'm going to continue moving, so maybe we can cover the ground that I want to tonight. Psalms chapter number 100. Man, would anybody just go ahead and agree with me tonight that God is worthy of our praise? Amen. He is. We could stop right there in Psalms chapter number 95. Ain't it amazing how you could take just a couple of verses in the Bible and you could say, look, this would have been enough. If this was all that God gave us, this would have been enough. But look what he's given us in his word. It's amazing. So look, Psalms chapter number 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Just in case we are questioning whether or not we should be serving the Lord with gladness and lifting his voice up with song. Verse number 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Wow, just a lot of stuff being repeated right out of Psalm chapter number 95. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. A couple more things that I wanted to look at here in Psalm chapter number 100. Some more reasons that we can enter into his presence with singing and praise. But one in verse number 3 where it says, Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I want you to know tonight that God made us, each and every one of us, who we are for a purpose. That God made you for a purpose. Now look, some of us are just weird. I'm weird. It's okay. My wife tells me, I'm going to stay out of the doghouse tonight. I'm going to stay out of the doghouse tonight. People have told me in my life that I'm weird. People have told me that I got some weird thoughts and some weird, I don't know who those people would be, but some people have told me that I'm just weird sometimes, and that's okay. Because you know what? God made me just like I am for a purpose and for a reason. And that purpose and that reason is to give him glory and to honor him and to worship him with my life. See, each and every one of us has attributes that we can use to give God glory. Now, some of our attributes that God give us, we abuse. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, some of you, y'all are the most headstrong people in the world. How do you know? Because I'm one of them. Ask my wife. I'm one of the most stubborn people in the world. I know y'all would never believe that of me. I'm so sweet and innocent, but I am one of the most stubborn people. Oh, Lord, here we go. Go to the doghouse. My kids got a double dose of it, is all I'm going to say. But you know what? That stubbornness can be a good thing. That stubbornness is one of those things that you can, if you apply it right to your life, you can say, I'm not going to turn from God's ways, and I'm going to be stubborn about it, and I'm going to mark her down. That's what my stubbornness was made for, not to be abused and take it out on my wife and be just one of them people it's hard to get along with. We all have attributes, and that's just an example. We all have attributes that God has given us that we can use to give him glory with, and it's up to us what we decide to do. Verse number 4, enter ye into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. Listen to this next part, for his mercy is everlasting. I'm glad that God's mercy is everlasting. You know, there are a lot of things in this world that you may think are infinite, and then you find out later that they're finite, and that's all you can make out of it, that there is a bottom to the barrel. You may think that you have enough finances. You may be one of the most wealthy people in the world, but you let the right sickness come along, and it can drain every bit of it. You let the right the circumstance come along in your life and that can all be gone just like that. Your power, your pride, whatever, any of those things can be gone in just an instant. But I'm glad that we serve a God that I will never find an end to His mercy. I will never find an end to His forgiveness. Now, that's not put there for me to abuse. That's not put there, but that is put there for me to know that He desires that relationship with me, that He wants me to walk free in my relationship with Him, that I don't have to walk around all the time thinking, is God going to strike me dead? That I don't have to be, hey, I'm to fear the Lord with a reverent fear, but I don't have to walk around all the time going, oh no, God, don't. But God wants me to love Him because He first loved me and live for Him because of how good He's been to me. There is no end to His mercy. He says His mercy is everlasting. In verse number 5, in the end of it, it says, and His truth endureth to all generations. Again, I'm glad that His truth is an unchanging truth, that it is a final authority, that it is absolute truth, and something that you can count on from infinity to infinity. There is no end to that truth. Hey, society can try to change the truth. Lawmakers can try to change the truth. There's all kinds of things that can come along, and you might try to reason within yourself and change what the truth says. You might try to say, well, we're living in a different day and time. It doesn't matter. The truth is the truth is the truth. It is the final authority, and we must trust in it and stand on it for as long as we're willing to live for God and as long as we stand. Let's continue. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. I'm glad that we do have an absolute truth. Let's go to Colossians chapter number 1. I'll be done in just a minute. Anybody else having a good time tonight? I am. I'm having a good time. Y'all didn't sound as excited as they did at the ball game of the night, but look at Colossians chapter number 12. I don't guess I do either. 1 Colossians chapter number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I want you to just listen to this. I'm probably not going to make a lot of comments right here. I'm not going to promise that, but I'm probably not going to. I want you just to listen to what the Word says. We're thinking about giving God thanks and praising Him. Verse number 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Okay, one quick comment. I've always thought it would be cool to be translated, to be moved. You know, some of y'all might have used to watch Star Trek. I didn't. I didn't watch a whole lot of it, but you know what my favorite part was, Randy? Beam me up, Scotty. Man, I've always wanted to be somewhere and just go, beam me up, Scotty, and go from one place to another, just like that. How awesome, how cool that would be to just be translated, just like that. Sometimes when autumn's getting on me, I want to go, beam me up, Scotty, get me out of here. And it don't work. See, I thought, well, I got the good doghouse, I might as well use it. I know, it's going to be real cold. Beam me up, Scotty, be translated. But look what he's saying here, it's just from one place to another, just boom, just like that. Verse number 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. From the powers of darkness, from a life of sin, from a life that was under the control of Satan. And you say, well, preacher, you got saved at 7. Well, you couldn't have been in much. You didn't know about the powers of darkness. But I want to tell you something. From the time that I realized that I was lost, listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says that you cannot serve two masters. As bad as we don't like to say this, but from the time that I learned that I was lost and that I was in need of a Savior, my God was Satan at that point in time. We don't like that, do we? But it's truth, right? Amen? Okay. So when I figured out that I was lost, that I was in under the power of darkness, but the night that I got up out of my bed and I ran into the living room and I said, Daddy, I need to be saved, and I got down and I prayed unto God and asked Him to forgive me of my sin, I was translated just like that. I was translated just like, look what it says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And it was better than anywhere that Scotty ever beamed anybody. I mean, he may have took them from earth to up yonder and there, but I want to tell you something, that I was translated from the powers of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. That right then and there, I become a child of God. My name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My home is now in heaven. I'm just a pilgrim and a stranger here. Listen, I got to move on. Verse number 14. in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. This would preach for a while. We may just come back here Sunday for all I know. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace, Lord have mercy, and having made peace, listen, I wasn't at peace within myself. Even at 7 years old, I realized that if I died that night, that I would spend eternity in hell. If I had died without Jesus Christ in my life, that I wouldn't go to heaven. And I remember laying in there and tossing and turning and tears running down my eyes and down my cheeks, realizing that I wasn't saved, that I wouldn't go to heaven. I was at a place that there was no peace. And having made peace, listen, through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy. Listen to this, I'm going to be done. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Praise the Lord. He is worthy of our praise. What awesome gift that he's given us in his word right here. The rock of our salvation. Man, there's so many things that we can praise God for. Again, we're going to spend the next three Wednesday nights focusing on this topic. Focusing on some things to be thankful for, some people in the Bible who were thankful. And again, on the 27th, you're going to have an opportunity. Now listen, you might be one of those people that says, absolutely, there's no way that I can get up in front of anybody and say anything. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometime when you get alone by yourself in your truck or in your car and you're headed to work and there ain't nobody else around to where you don't feel too shy or whatever. Now listen, I know we can do it in our heart. But go ahead and lift your voice and begin to praise the Lord and you see what happens. You begin to thank him and you see what happens. You may find yourself in his presence. Yes, sir, Al. Amen. Amen. Lift your voice. Make a joyful noise. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I'm so thankful for your word that you've given us, for the way that you can take it and speak to our hearts. And God, I've only skimmed the surface of reasons that we have to praise you. But God, I pray that you'll help us, that we will always lift our voice, that we will worship you, that we will praise you, and that we'll honor you. God, you are such a good God. God, your mercy endureth forever. God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll just help us to live our lives in a way that gives you glory and that honors you. God, I pray most of all, if there's one here tonight that's lost, or God, maybe even Sunday morning as we come together, if there's one there that's lost, that you'll speak to their hearts, help them to see their need for a Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.